We're here on Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, on my Rav, the second line. Kasha Leila Abaye. Abaye found a difficulty on the Mandi Omar Isho Mishum Chitzov. That's Rav Yochanan. The Mandi Omar Isho Mishum Chitzov. If we define Eish as Adam Amazik, it's the Koach, it's the Chetz of a person. Is Tomen Be'eish the Potrachmona Hechimish Kachasla? In what case would the Torah have exempted the Bala Mazik, the Bala Eish, from Tomun? Tomun means anything that's been concealed, it's covered over. And the Gemara later on Daf Samach Aleph, Amid Beis, quotes Eishita Rabbi Yehuda, who says that Eish is Chayav on Tomun. But the Gemara says, La Halacha, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. We paskin like the Chachom Tomun Be'eish is Potu. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, that Isha Mishum Chitzov. So how do we reconcile the Shita, the Chachom Rabbi Yehuda, with Rabbi Yochanan? Chachom Rabbi Yehuda hold that Tomun Be'esh is Potur. And that's the Mishnah later on, Daf Samach Aleph Amid Beis. So if a person lights his friend's Gaddish, and there were utensils that were covered up by the haystacks, he's Potur for paying for the Kalim. And this makes sense if you hold, like Reish Lakish, that Isho Mishum Mamono. So in Mamona Mazik, we have a Ptur called Tamun. But if you hold, like Rabbi Yochanan, that Isho Mishum Chitza, which means there's Adam Mazik, we don't find anywhere that Adam Mazik is Potter. In fact, the Gemara says on Daf Chav Vavam and Beis, a little bit later on, that Mazik, Adam Mazik is Chayev even for Ones. Adam Wudli Olam, Bein Bemezid, Bein Beones. So what will you tell me? You tell me that he didn't anticipate that there were kelim inside the haystack and concealed, and therefore he's not a poshea, he's an onus, but that's irrelevant to Adam Amazik. The possibility exists, however, that the p'tur of Tomun is not based on onus, the fact that we cannot hold him responsible, the Mazik, for Tomun. He didn't anticipate, he never guessed in a million years that there'd be Kalim that were covered up under the haystack. But rather, the halach of Ptur Tomun, which is derived from Yalfusa, is a Gzeres HaKosuv. And based on this Gzeres HaKosuv, we could say that even if I hold Isha Mishum Chitzav, the Gzeres HaKosuv should apply. So the one who addresses this question is the Nebuki Yosef, and he says that even though the Ptur of Tomun has nothing to do with Ones, but rather it's Gzeres HaKosuv, nevertheless, since the Torah says Yachayev Ba'ones, in the case of Adam HaMazik, and this is derived from the Pasuk Petza Tachas Petza, Lechayev Es Adam HaMazik, B'mezid, B'shogeg, B'shog Kilu Mezid, and so forth and so on, Mazik B'ones, Kilu Hizik B'Rotzon, and you'll see that quoted here in Rashi, D'Maskel Hechi. Therefore, there's no Ptur of Ones with regard to Adam HaMazik, which means that basically Adam HaMazik has no Pturim whatsoever. The Gemara earlier in the first parak of Bava Kamma had already established that the difference between the various Avos of Mamon HaMazik are the Chiluki HaLochos. For example, Keren pays only Chatzi Nezek, Shein Veregel is only Urche, and if it was Tzoros, you pay Chatzi Nezek Tzoros, and Bar is Pot V'Kelim. Whatever the different dinim are, those Chiluki dinim apply to Mamon HaMazik. But we don't find any Chiluki dinim as far as Adam HaMazik is concerned. Adam HaMazik is Chayv straight across the board, all-inclusive Chiyuv. And therefore, the Ptur of Tomun doesn't seem to jive, doesn't seem to be reconcilable with the halacha of Isho Mishum Chitzav. And the Gemara says, V'nichale, Abai says, I have an answer to this question. That Adam Shehidlik Eish will be potter for the Kelim Hatmunim, even if I hold Isho Mishum Chitzav. Kigon, and this is going to be a major breakthrough in the sugya of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish Visho Mishum Chitza, because now the Gemara is going to assume that there are cases in which even Rabbi Yochanan would say that the principle of Isho Mishum Chitza doesn't apply, and it's going to have to be Eish B'Toris Momen HaMasek, Kigon Shenofla Dleika Li'oso Chotzer. A person lights a fire in his backyard, and there was a fence around his yard that would protect the Eish, the fire, from spreading. At the moment that he lit the fire, there was no possibility that the fire would spread into Yenim's, into his neighbor's backyard. But what happened later? After that Laka, Nafla Gader, the fence collapsed. Now there's no separation between the Bala Eish's Chatzer and his friend's Chatzer. And what caused the Gader to fall? Shalom Machmas Dleika. Wasn't that the fire burnt down the Gader, the fence that separated the two Chatzeros? Because if that be the case, then the spreading of the fire would be considered Isho Mishum Chitzov. Here there's no Isho Mishum Chitzov because the fence contains the fire. And the Maisad Lok cannot be seen as a Chetz. The Chetz has no possibility of shooting and aiming forward towards, or shall we say, outside the Gader, outside the fence which contains the H. But now, as a result of the fact that the fence fell down, and Im Nafla, Rashi says, Diba Maska Shlo, Im Nafla, Gader Maf, if the fence had fallen down as a result of the fire, is then Im Tzachitz of Haim, that would be his Chetz, Shepilu HaGader, and that caused the spreading of the fire. But that's not the case. Something else brought the fence down. Whatever it might be, a wind, an animal, an earthquake, but nevertheless, at this point, there's no fence to contain the fire. Which means, and the Gemara formulates the underlying logic here, so the key words here that you should emphasize are kolu lechitzav, which means nigmar koach hachetz. When a person sends out an arrow, the arrow has a potential to reach point X based on the energy force that you place into the arrow, the projectile force. Here too, the eish is viewed, according to Rabbi Yochanan, as a chetz, but how far can that chetz go? So from the perspective of the original Maisad Luck, it could only go up to but not beyond the Gader, the fence that encloses that H. But now, after Kolulei Chitzov, after the Chetz has reached its termination point, that's as far as it could go, now the Gader is down, and we can demand of the Bala Eish to be Shomer, to watch and guard this H, because there's no barrier that contains the H. Now, even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that this mazik comes on the Mamana mazik. And basically, Rabbi Yochanan is therefore a combination of Mamana mazik and Adama mazik. If it's lo kololoi chetzav, meaning if the eish from the perspective of its hadloka has an endless parameter, could keep going on and on, that's called chetzav, that's Adama mazik. But if kololoi chetzav, this as far as the hadloka is concerned, the eish can only go so far but not beyond, and the fire is contained, then that's called kololo chitzav. And if the fire now gets into a situation where it could spread further as a result of the falling of the fence that contained it, now it becomes mamana mazik, there's a chiyuv shmira, and we could be mechayev the madlik under the category of mamana mazik. And mamana mazik has what we call the chiluke dinim, one of which is the ptur of tamun. The Gemara says, if this be the case, and that's the Ptur of Tamun, is le'inyan golui nami kolu lechitzav? In other words, we should exempt him not only for Tamun, for those kelim that are concealed, but even on the entire burning, you know, whatever was burnt, even on the Gadish, which is obviously Golui, it's not Tamun, it's not concealed, it's exposed. After all, it's Kololoi Chitzov. And that's where the Gemara formulates this principle that we mentioned earlier. Elamante isle mishum chitzov isle nami mishum mamono. The Shita, meaning Rabbi Yochanan of Chitzov, also accepts the Shita of Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan was only adding to Reish Lakish, upgrading the severity, the Chumras HaMazik into Adam HaMazik whenever there's low Kolulei Chitzov, but not to exclude and undermine the basic Chiv of Mamono in the case of Kolulei Chitzov. So therefore, in this case where the Gadir fell, not because of a result of the fire, and therefore, as far as Chitzov is concerned, you can't be Mechayev him, but we could be Mechayev him B'Toras Mamono. And why? Kigon Shahilo Lagojo Velo Gidara. In other words, in a case where he had plenty of time to replace the Gadir around his Chatzer and to again put up the barrier that would contain the Eish, and he didn't do so. And again, even though he's not Chayev on the original Adlaka, because that was Kolo Chitzov, he had a Gadir at that point, but nevertheless, he's Chayev now because of Mamon HaMazik, because he has a responsibility to contain the Eish by replacing the Gadir and containing the fire again. And the Gemara gives a mashal. The Hasam Shorohu below Tofef Biape. This is no different than a person who brings his very strong ox into a corral and he locks it up beforehand. So if the shor, if the ox goes out, then you can't be mechayev the bayim, they did the proper shmirah. But if on the other hand, if the owner of the shor did not do the proper shmirah, did not provide the ne'ilas delas to lock it up in the corral, and the animal goes out, or it was locked and then unlocked, the lack of shmirah, which is called Pshia, the Shmiras on Lech, is enough Mechayev and Finiske Shor, and Huadin, the same thing applies in Eish. If now the Gadir is down, the Bala Eish is Chayev in Shmiras Eish as he is in Shmiras Shoro, it's Mamana Masik. In such a case, if he doesn't replace the Gadir and he's Posheh in Shmiras Maziko, then he's going to be Chayev, but only for Golui. Because under the Mamon HaMazik halacha of Eish, we have Chiluke halachos, which means the Ptur of Tomun applies, it kicks in, and therefore he only pays for the Gadish, but not for the Kelim that are hidden below the Gadish. So the Gemara now asks, V'chi me'acha deman de'isle mishum chitzov isle nami mishum amono mai beinayhu. The Gemara asks what seems superficially to be a very naive kind of a question. Now that Rabbi Yochanan has accepted the principle of Reish Lakish of Isho Mishum Mamono, so what's the nafkamina between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? And this question seems to be very, very strange because we know many, many differences between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. For example, the Gemara back on Chav Beis Amud Aleph, in the case of Kelev Shenotal Charora, or the case of Gomol Shayaton Pishton, in those cases, the Eish is not considered Mamon of the Bala Kelev. The Eish is not the Mamon of the Bala HaGamal. And yet Yechayev, according to Reish Lakish Yepotu, according to Yochanan Yechayev, and you pay Midin Chatzi Nezik Tzroros, because it is the Koach of the animal, of the Kelev, that, you know, apply the Gecholim to the Gadish, the Koach of the Gomol, whose Pishton went on fire and burnt the building. In all these cases that we discussed yesterday, we know that Rabbi Yochanan is Mechayev you under the law of Tzroros because it's the koch of your animal, because Isho Mishum Chitzov. So what does Gemara exactly mean when it asks the question, Mai Beinai? So the answer is, we're talking about a case, a scenario in which the Eish belongs to the Madlik, which means that even according to Reish Lakish, there would be Mamon HaMazik. It's his Eish, his Takola. He's responsible for it. And the Gemara wants to know now, if you're telling me that it's your Mamon, and on that Reish Lakish says, Eish is Mamon HaMazik, Rabbi Yochanan says, Isho Mishum Chitzov. Until now, we could have said that the difference between them is even in a case where the Eish belongs to the Madlik, but in a case where there's a Gadir, a fence that separates the two Chatzeres and it falls Shalom Achmas Adleka, is kol ochitzav, and Gemara would have thought that in that situation, Rabbi Yochanan would say you're potter completely, and Reish Lakish would say you're chai because it's your eish, eisho mishum amono. So the Gemara says, my beinayim, now that you've told me no, that even Rabbi Yochanan accepts, embraces the definition of isho mishum amono in the case of kol ochitzav, then ein chiluk beinayim. And this, I believe, is what Rashi means, Dibra Maskil V'chi, and Dibra Maskil L'chaivo. Rashi says, Heicha de Gachelis Shalo, if it's his Gachelis, my Ika ben Rabbi Yochanan, de Mechaiv le Mishum Tarte, Rabbi Yochanan would say that it's Isho Mishum Chitzo, but it's also Isho Mishum Mamono, and Reish Lakish, Rabbi Shlokish in this case would say you're only chayv mishum amono, it's his gacheles. And what difference does it make if Rabbi Yochanan adds on top to boot isha mishum chitzav? Because let's just apply the principle of isha mishum amono, and both Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish would say that he's chayv per se. Bishleim Rashi says ad hashta until this point shamina mishum chitzav dafka v'lav mishum mamono. We thought until this breakthrough that Rabbi Yochanan only accepts chitzav and he rejects mamono. And why is that? Because mamono is pe mamasha, hol les pe mamasha. You can't have ownership and call it a mamon amazik in the case of an eish which has no mamoshes to it, as we discussed yesterday. So then we could say ikar beinayim in the case of kol chitzav. There, Rabbi Yochanan would say you're potter, and Rabbi Shlokish would say you're chayev. Masha enkein, now that we've established that even according to Rabbi Yochanan, isha mishum mamono, so ma beinayu, what's the difference between it in the case where it's his age? And the Gemara answers, ikar beinayu lechayvo biarba dvarim. The nafkamina between a person who lights a fire, the fire spreads and injures another human being. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the victim has rights to sue for damages b'toras chovel v'chavero, which means he can be mechayev the madlik arba dvarim nezik tzar ripui v'sheves. We'll leave out boshes for the time being. Whereas according to Reish Lakish, that the chiyuv eish is mishum amono and only mishum amono, the mazik is not chayuv in anything more than nezek. But he has no chiyuv for tsar, ripui, and sheves. That only applies to adam achovel bechavero. Adam amazik chavero begufo pays the entire list. Now as far as boshes is concerned, the Gemara says later on in Daf Chav Zayin that a person is not chayuv for boshes until he has kavona lahazik. Here, he didn't deliberately, intentionally try to destroy his friend's body, but he just lit a fire, and the fire naturally was carried and spread by the wind, which is called chitzav according to Rabbi Yochanan. But as far as the other four chiyuvim of chovel, which means nezek, tzar, ripui, and sheves, it matters not whether he was kavanas olahazik or not kavanas olahazik. And the Gemara explains on Daf Chav Zayin that if a person falls from a roof, beruach mitzuya, and he's mazik, his gufo shel chavero, he's chovel b'chaver, he's chai ba'ar medvar, but he's potter on boshes. This is the Rashi here, Dibra Maskil lechayvo. Rabbi Nachman has a slight different version. He says that our broad varm, which means tzar, ripu, yishevus, and boshes, that's the nafkamina between Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. And he writes, "V'kolshkein l'inyan nezek shechayev l'das hakol." As far as nezek is concerned, so in the list of Rabbi Chanan, please notice that he has tsar ripui sheves uboshes. Nezek, he says, is not enough. I mean, it's common to both Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, but boshes is also on his list as an afkemina between isho mishum amono and isho mishum chitzav. And the Gaon in his Birur on Choshen Mishpat has a long discussion here to try to explain Rabbeinu Chananel and justify him against Rashi's Kasha from the Sugya later on Daf Chav Zayin Omer Aleph. In any event, what we have now, just to summarize, is a mahalach, an approach to the sugya according to Rashi, and that is that the maskonas hagemara is that Rabbi Yochanan is mechayev eish, whether it's bishum chitzov, whether it's shumimono, and therefore in the case of kol chitzov, Rabbi Yochanan agrees to eish lakshi is chayev mishum mono. And in a case where the eish doesn't belong to him, he'll be chayev mishum chitzov. According to Reish Lakish, there's no chiyuv for eish b'toras chitzov, but only b'toras momono. And that was what pressed the Gemara to ask the question, and that what pressed Rashi to reinterpret the Gemara of Mai Beinayu. What was Gemara asking Mai Beinayu if Rabbi Yochanan has this additional principle of isho mishum chitzov? And the answer is the Gemara was bothered by the case where he owns his mom. Rashi, however, quotes a different lishna, nuscha cheres. The Marshal brings down this nuscha, and according to that nuscha, Rashi has two interpretations. The second one is the one that we gave and we presented here in the Shia, but the first one explains the Gemara in a different way. And Rashi says, Lashon Rishon Nire Li. He even prefers the first Lishna, which means that Rashi interprets that the intention of the Gemara was to ask, Islei Nami Mishum Mamono, which means, Tzarech Shetea Eish Gam Mamono Shel Madlik. According to this Pirush Rishon of Rashi, the Eish has to be the moment of the Madlik. And the question is how to interpret that Rashi. The Amshe Shlomo understands that if the eish is mamono shel madlik, Rabbi Yochanan holds that you're not going to be mechayev mishum chetz, but only mishum mamona mazik. Only in the case of an eish that's ain't a mamono will be mechayev mishum chetz. And therefore, the Gemara asks, in what case would there be a p'tur according to Rabbi Yochanan on niske tomun be'eish? Because after all, only in a case where it's mamono does Rabbi Yochanan maintain chitzov, and if it's chitzov, then there should be no p'tur of tamun. And the Gemara answers that in the case where the eish is mamono shel madlik, Rabbi Yochanan agrees to Reish Lakish that the chiyuv is only mishum mamono and not mishum chitzov, and therefore he's p'tur on tamun. In any event, this understanding of the Marshal is very, very difficult, and the one who attacked it is the Nachlas David, who's the Rashiv in Valojin, and the Nachlas David lists an entire barrage of kashes on this pshat of the Marshal, and therefore he reinterprets the sugya based on the Shita Mekubetzes, and the Maskonas HaGemara is that Rabbi Yochanan holds and in order to be mechayev a person for Nizkei Eish, you have to have two conditions. Number one, it's got to be Eish Mamono. Number two, it's got to be inherently plausible or possible to Mechayev Mishum Chetz as well. So if the case and the scenario is Eish Mamono Shel Madlik, then Rabbi Yochanan is Mechayev him not only Mishum Mamon HaMasik, but at the same time Mishum Chitzov, and therefore he's Chayev Dal Dvarim under the law of Adam HaMasik. The Mishnah says that a kelev shenotel charora, and there's a gacheles attached to this charora, and this kelev takes the charora and puts it down in a gadish, it eats the charora and burns up the gadish, is al charora mishalem, he pays nezek shalem, and on the gadish he pays chatzi nezek. Man chayev. The Gemara asks a somewhat naive question. We've been assuming all along that in the Mishnah, the owner of the dog has to pay damages. The Gemara says, wait a minute, let's think about this. Bal HaKelev, you're saying that the entire sum of damages, the compensation has to be covered, has to be carried by the Bal HaKelev. L'chayev nami Bal HaGacheles. Wait a second. Why is the Bal HaGacheles who owns this Gacheles, who owns this Harara, why is he off the hook? He too should be participating in the payment of the Nizokin here, because he was poshea in the fact that he wasn't providing the proper protection and shmira for his gacheles. We did have a case on Chav Beis of a person who sent a Gachel Sviat Cherish out of a cotton, he's part of it, that's different. There it's because it's after the Cherish Kagarma law, it was the Cherish who caused the Dleika. But in a case where a person was Madlik, a gacheles, and he leaves the gacheles as is alone without shmira, then the bialim should be chayev in nizikin. So the fact that I own the gacheles, I own the charor, and I didn't protect it, and now the kelev comes along and takes away this gacheles and causes a sreifa, that should be my responsibility, no less than it is to the bala kelev. Maybe he's poshea for not guarding his kelev, but I was poshea for not guarding my gachela. Now, the implication of this Gemara is, well, let's go slowly. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it means let's split the tashlum and Ezekin equally between the bala kelev, whose chayev, according to Rabbi Yochanan, midin tsroros, chatzi nezik midin tsroros, because of isho mishum chitzov, and let's be mechayev the bala gachelas chatzi nezik, the other half, midin pshia begachelas. According to Reish Lakish, who says the Balak Kelev is Potel Lagamre, then the Gemara's question is that the Balak Gachelah should be Chayev 100% in the Zikin. That's what Rashi explains in Dibra Maskil Vila Chayev. Now, if you take a look at Rashi, Dibra Maskil Hachi Garcinon, he understood that the question of the Gemara was that everyone should agree that the Balak Gachelah is Chayev. Everybody agrees to Isho Mishum Mamono, and therefore he's Chayim in Shmira. The Gemara thinks that according to Rabbi Yochanan, who's Mechayiv Mishum Chitzav, and not Mishum Mamono, that was the Havamin, if you recall, then we should not be Mechayiv the Bala Gacheles at all, because there's no Chitzav, there's only Mamono. The Gemara answers, Bisheshimer Gachalto. The Mishnah is talking about a case where the Baal Gacheles did everything he could, everything that's necessary and required to provide a safeguard for this Gacheles. In other words, he didn't leave it outside in the middle where the Kelev would take it. He left it in his house and he locked up his house. And therefore, as far as the Baal Gacheles is concerned, we have a case of Onus. There's no Pshia, it's Onus. Because the Kelev took the Gacheles from the house of the Bala Gacheles, and the Bala Gacheles is potter from Tashlumin. So Gemara says, Ikish Hashimir, if the Bala Gacheles locked up his Gacheles, Gachalto, is my boy Kelev Hasom. How exactly did the Kelev succeed in obtaining this Gacheles and therefore taking it and lighting up the neighbor's Gadish? The answer is Bishachosar. Apparently the Kelev dug underneath the Delis and burrowed its way into the house and then went out with the Gacheles. Omar Rav Mori, Bereder Rav Kahn, if that be the case, then Zosomeres, if the Mishnah says the Bala Kelev is Chayev because of this Chotar, this Chatira, then we should assume, therefore, that stam losos chasuros hein etzal kelev, meaning it's normal and anticipated, predictable that a kelev would burrow its way in under the door and come in, and that's not called mishuna. That's how Rashi explained the Dira Maskil, the stam. Because if you're going to say that a dog doesn't normally burrow its way in under a door, then why should the bailan be chayev to pay for the achilas acharora, for the kelev that ate, consumed this charora? He should only be chayim midin keren maximum, and that's chatzi nezek. And yet the Mishnah says he pays for the charora nezek sholem. So the only justification for being mechayim the bala kelev nezek sholem on the charora is midin shein, and that would have to apply if it's urche, and it must be therefore that stamped losos chasurus hein etzel kelev, and the bala kelev should have understood that he's got to protect and prevent his kelev from doing this chatira to borrow his way underneath. The Rosh here in Sima Gimel rejects this pshat, which is Rashi's pshat, because he holds that even if I grant you that it would have been mishuna, it would be unusual to expect the animal, the kelev, to dig and burrow its way under the delis, but nevertheless, once the animal already dug its way in, that's the ofen, that's the way, the method of conduct by which it reaches the charora, then it's darko lechol, it's absolutely predictable and normal that it will eat the charora. There's no mishuna, there's no shinui on the achilas acharora, and therefore you be chayef. So again, the machlokes between Rashi and the Rosh is in the hechsher hezek, meaning the prologue, the pre-stage, the preliminary stage which brought about the ultimate achila. The achila per se was certainly kidarko urche, not mishuna, but the way it obtained access to the achila, that was mishuna. Rashi says that itself causes a hafka of shame and places it, categorizes it under keren. Because Rashi is looking at it from the perspective of Chiruv Shmira, and the Chiruv Shmira is not for Shane, because who's going to anticipate that the animal will have access to eat this charora? Whereas the Rosh puts the emphasis on the achil itself. If the achil itself is normal, it's not like a tarnagolas that attacked a utensil. This is normal food. It's a charora. It's very tasty and very smelly. It's great. And that's called shame, even though the preliminary stage by which the animal got access, obtained access to the achila, was mishuna. And therefore the Rosh is forced to reinterpret the Gemara in a different way. And he says that if it wasn't the derech of the kelef, if it wasn't normal for a kelef to be choter under a delis, then the bailim would not be chayiv at all on the achila sacharora. Why? And he quotes the Mishnah in Akones of Nifritza Balailo Shapartza Listim Vyotza Vizika Pota, which means that if the animal breaks out at night, or it was taken out by Listim, and then it went out and damaged your potter, even though your animal was Masik, because you couldn't have possibly afforded the Shmirah. So at the end of the day, even the Rosh agrees that if this was Mishuna, in the way that the animal was choter, you'd be potter. But Rashi says you'd be potter because this would be the case of Karen for which you pay chatzi nezek. The Rosh would say you're potter for a different reason. It's really shame, but it's shame ba'onis, meaning it's shame without the pshias bal hamazik, and therefore you'd be potter completely. Tosis, Dibur Amasfil b'sheshimer, asks the following question. He says, if the Gemara concludes here that it's derech hakelev lachtod losos, so what help, what success can we attribute to the balag achelas that he locked his door, if kelev, they're clubbing all over the place, and they're going to dig in under the door? And Tosis Mechadish, a new claw, and he says, the kevan sheshimer es kechalta kederech shanosh mishamrim lo trichu chachomim yesem mikol. It's not the halacha of pshi and shmira, it's halacha of a ptur shmira, meaning that the chachamim are going to define when you've done enough shmira that you're potter. It's a new din ptur shmira. And Tosa says that what the Gemara means is that when the Balag Achelis locks his door, that gives him a ptur shmira. Even though, again, he could have done a better shmira. But what should I say? It's like the case of a Shomer Chinam, who is only chayev in shmira p'chusa, he's not chayev in shmira ma'ula. And in Ezekiel, this shmira of locking the door is sufficient, and that generates a p'tur. The Ravid has a different approach. He assumes, and again, I want to point out to you that the Chidush HaRavid on Bava Kamma is a major, major sefer amongst the Rishonim on Bava Kamma, and it's been republished in the last, half a century. He says that even if there are plenty of dogs around, nevertheless, the bailim is mutal aleim l'shomram shelo yaziku. In other words, it's enough for the balag achelis to lock his door, and that is because the balag achelis has a right to shift part of a segment of the responsibility of Shmira onto the shoulders, to transfer onto the shoulders of the Baal HaKelev. Notice the fact that your Kelev is Darko Lachtar, that puts an extra responsibility on you. But as far as the Baal HaKelev is concerned, his obligation of Shmira vis-a-vis the Gacheles, the Heft of the Gacheles, is complete and fulfilled by locking up the Gacheles in his house. The Gemara now clarifies the din of the Mishnah that the Baal HaKelev is chayev to pay for the achilas charor de ochla hecha. How exactly did the kelev eat this charora? Ilema di ochla begodish di alma. If the dog, in this case, carried the gacheles over to some godish, somebody else's godish, not the godish of the own of the Baal HaCharora. It's not like he took the charora right outside and burnt up the godish in the chutzah of the Baal HaCharora. Is habeinon? That's a problem. Why should it be chayev for the godish? The halacha is with regard to the mazik of Shein, v'shilach es be'ira, the Torah says, u'bir b'stei acher, which means that the Baal HaKelev, in this case, is only chayev for Shein if the achilu took place in the Rishus HaNizak. And if the animal took this charora and brought it out to a godish of somebody else's Rishus, and that's where he ate the charora, then he's not chayev for Shein in the Rishus HaNizak. The leka. The Mishnah is talking about a case where the animal, the kelev in this case, ate the charora and burnt up the godish in the chatzer of the Baal HaCharora. So therefore he's going to be chayev to pay the Baal HaCharora for shame, nezek shalem, and for the ash that was mispashet and burnt up the godish of the Baal HaCharora, that he pays chatzi nezek midin tzroros. So the Gemara asks the following. We have a suffix, which is going to be here on Daf Chof Gimel Amid Beis, an Iboilahu, with regard to Pipara. And you'll see this in the Gemara on the third line down. Pipara, you see that? Is tifshot, we're going to see what that suffix is in just a moment. Tifshot, from this interpretation of our Mishnah, we should come to the conclusion that pi para kechotzer anizak domi. Just before we go on, I just want to remind you that what I said before, that the Mishnah is mechayev the Baal HaKelev to pay chatzi nezek tzoros on the godish, which is the godish of the Baal HaCharora. I just want to point out that halach, that when the fire spreads and burns up the godish, that's called tzroros. That's only according to Rabbi Yochanan. Just remind you that according to Reish Lakish, you're only chayev when the kelev throws down the charora and the gecholim on the makom, on that specific place where he threw it down. That's called chatzi nezek tzroros. Anything beyond that can only come under eish. And in this case, since the gacheles is not owned by the Baal HaKelev, therefore he's not chayv b'toras isho mishum mamon. Just a review of what we did on daf chof beis. In any event, now we talk about pi para kechotzer anizak domi on here on chav gimel amid beis. So we're talking about a case, a classical case of shein, where the animal is eating in the chatzar nizak. The animal entered into the chatzar nizak and started eating the nizak's food. Now, the Torah says you're only chayev uvir b'stei acher if the achilu takes place in the chatzar nizak. But the strange thing here is, here's the paradox. The achila means when the food goes into the mouth of the animal, and the animal, of course, belongs to the Baal HaMazik, not to the Nizak, then one could ostensibly argue that now the food is in the chatzar of the Mazik, because the animal and its mouth is the chatzar of the Mazik. So the Gemara says, the ich kechatzar Mazik, if we accept that logic, that the mouth of the para that's eating up this food is defined as the reshus of the Baal HaPara, then why should the Baal HaKelev, in our case, be chayv to pay nezek sholem on the achilas charora for eating the charora? Le, the Baal HaKelev has a right to address the Baal HaCharor and say the following, argue, my boy, Riftach Befuma de Kalboy, which means, what is your, Riftach means a piece of bread, a lechem, what is it doing in the mouth of my kelef? Meaning, the Torah only says, I'm chai fashen when it eats Bishus HaNizak. But now it's in the Pikelev, and the Pikelev is the Rishus of the Mazik, and therefore you cannot be Mechayev the Baal HaKelev for Achilas Charor, because the Achilas Charor did not take place in the Chotzer Nizak, but rather in the Chotzer Mazik. Di Boile, and we have a Sofek, Pi Poro Kechatzar HaNizak Domi, O Kechatzar HaMazik Domi. The Gemara says that we vacillated back and forth as to what the status of Pi Poro is. Is it Chatzar Nizak or is it Chatzar Mazik? And here, from our sugya, and the fact that the Mishnah says that the Baal HaKelev is chai feeding the Charora, you have to conclude, therefore, that Pipar is Chatzar Nizak, Tomi, otherwise he wouldn't be chai Mishum Shein. Now the Gemara has the obvious question, V'i Amrit Chatzar Mazik, Tomi. And you had a svara to say the opposite, that maybe the pipars kachatzar mazik domi, if that be the case, shein de mechayev de chiyev rachmona hechim shkachasla, we'll never find a hechetimtza, a metzias in which you could be chayev for shein, because shein is always going to be pirshus hamazik, and the Torah says, ubir b'stei acher, omrav mori bereid rav kahana, Kigon shenischachecha bekosel lana osa, or v'tinfa peros lana osa. The case of Shane is not achila. Enochinami achila is always going to be b'stei amazik and not b'stei acher, but rather other forms of Shane. Shane is always the animal that destroys something because of its need for hana, and the animal has a tick or a scratch on its back, and it rubs itself up against its back against the kosel and knocks over the kosa, and all that happened in the Rishus of the Nizak. Or Tinfet Peros, the animal rolled itself on the ground, it was hot and it wanted to cool off, and it squashed all these vegetables, Lahana Asa, for its own benefit. That would be a case of, in this case, Shane. And here, we're talking about Rishus HaNizak. But in any Chinami, the Gemara now assumes that if the animal eats, it's never going to be in the Chatzar HaNizak, it'll always be in the Chatzar HaMazik, and he's always going to be Potter, according to that side, that Pipara Kechatzar HaMazik Domi. Now Tosus points out that the Mishnah earlier on Daf Yutes and Beis says, HaShein Mu'edes Lechol Es Haroila. The Mishnah is obviously assuming that you are Chayev for Shein through Achila. Or, for example, the Mishnah says, "Ochla mitzi derechava mitoch hachanus, mishalem es mashi zika." Why does the Gemara need to first introduce the kelev she'ochal charora and then to assume that the only chiv that you have for Shein is only going to be for tin for peros and for nischacha b'kosel, etc.? What about these achila cases that are explicitly codified in the Mishnah? And furthermore, says Tosfos, if the nidon here that we're talking about is pi behemto, which has the status of chotzar mazik, so how could the Baal HaKelev argue, my boy Riftach befuma de kalba? The Kelev itself took the food out of the Rishus HaNizak. So the argument that what is your food doing in the mouth of my Kelev is not an argument at all. And therefore Tosfos reinterprets this sugya. And he says the Gemara assumed that the chiyuv of Shein b'Rishus HaNizak is generated by the lekichas dover machol, meaning taking up the machol from the Rishus HaNizak and eating it in the Rishus HaMazik or in the Rishus HaRabin. But it picked up the food in the Rishus HaNizak. And therefore the baile machayev mishum Shein b'Rishus HaNizak, because the animal picked it up in the Rishus HaNizak. And since it was logical to the Gemara to say that the Chiv Torah is on the Shas Lekicha, not on Shas Achila, because again the Shas Achila was not in the Rishus HaNizak, it means that the Bailim were Poshe and the Shmiras HaShein and the Shmiras HaMazik. They allowed their animal to enter into the Chatzar HaNizak and take from there Dvar Machal to eat it wherever it eats it. and therefore it doesn't matter where it eats it. The Torah is mechayiv for the shas halakicha and for the pshia in allowing the animal to have access to that lakicha. Either Torah says ubir b'stei acher, it's got to be stei acher. That's only to exclude the case where the animal picked up the food in the Rishus HaRab, then the Bailam HaPot. And now the Gemara has a suffix, what's the din in a case where the animal did not take the food in and of its on its own, shall we say, from the Rishus HaNizak, but rather it was taken there by an Adam. For example, let's say you have an Adam, some person who's not chayiv in tashlum in Ezekin. Let's say the cases of a cheresh or a shota or a katan, perhaps a goy. And those individuals placed the food into the mouth of the animal. In such a case, the shas netila is not a shah machayeves. And now we have to judge if the pi behema is kechotza nizak, because now the machayev here is the actual achila. It's not the netila and the lakicha, but the achila. And in such a case, the baila machayev because of shame b'shus nizak, or alternatively, the Gemara's other side in this vacillation is that pi para kechotzer hamazik dami, and therefore you cannot be machayev on the achila. So Mimonavshek can't be machayev. On the netil, you can't be machayev because the food was given to the animal by a cherishot of a cotton or a guy. And on the achila, you can't be machayev because it's in the shus of the mazik, because pipar kishus ha-mazik. And that's what the Gemara means when it says that the bala kelev could say to the bala hacharora, what is your food doing in the mouth of my dog? And the answer is because we're talking about a case where the bala kelev is not responsible for the netila for the lakicha. And now we begin to understand why the Gemara didn't quote the Mishnah of Hashem Muedes Lechol Saroyla, because in that case the machayev is the netila sabehema. The animal went into the Rishus HaNisak and picked up the food, and therefore yechayev b'torah shein. And the netila itself is a netila machayeves, even if you assume that the pi para is kirishus hamazik domi. And in the case of kelev shachal charora, you really can't come to any conclusion as far as the suffix in the Gemara, because the Gemara says that we're going to have to interpret that Mishnah as a case where the Kelev ate the Charora in the Gadish of the Bala Charora. But now Tosus has a major problem, because the Gemara is about to stand up and yell and scream, how do we ever find Shein? According to Tosus, we always find Shein, and that is because the Mechayev of Shein is the Netila. So what was the Gemara asking? That's a very difficult question. Tosus says that when you read the pasuk ubir b'stei acher, the simple reading of the pasuk indicates the achila took place in the sada nizak, and that was the Gemara's problem: was how can you be mechayev mishum shein if it's always going to be pi para kechotzer hamazik dami? The simple pshat in the pasuk cannot be maintained. So the Gemara answers that, you know, with the simple pshat in the pasuk is not referring to achila at all. It's a different kind of ubir. Maskifla marzutra. The Gemara now asks Akasha on Rav Mori Braid Rav Kahana, who said that that the pasuk is talking about other cases, other forms of shame. How can you interpret that the Torah is talking about these forms of shein? V'abeina, you need, as the pasuk says in Tanakh, kasher yevayer hagolol ad tumo, which means that the ubir has to be a total, absolute consumption with nothing left over. V'leka, but here, in a case where the animal pushes over the wall or dirties filth, you know, it adds filth to the fruits, and it's not ad tumo. Ad tumo means not a total destruction. So Gemara answers, Ravina Omar, Dishof Salme, that there is a case of Mechala Es HaKeren, where it's a total ad tumo, and that's called Shof Salme. And the way we understand Shof Salme is Shepishpisha Tsroros. In other words, there were pebbles that were stuck into the kosel, and when the animal rubbed its back against the kosel, it rubbed off these different tsroros. These tsroros have a certain value to them. Rashi speaks about tsuros chakukos. Tsuros chakukos means like a work of art, for example. You know, you chisel away at the wall, and in the engraving, you create something of great value, right? Like a mural on a wall, and that mural was destroyed completely. So here we have a case of the Schacha Bekoso, which is Machalia Karna, which is Ad Tumo. Rav Ashi gives another possible scenario. Depos e Psue. Notice when the animal rolled itself over the vegetables and the fruits on the ground, it pushed them into a soft concrete. And when the concrete dried, it was impossible to remove the vegetables. So this was a case of Mechalia Karna, the Paris were completely destroyed. The Gemara says, Toshma, perhaps we can prove from the Mishnah that Piparis Kechotzar Nizak, and this is a Mishnah Mesechta Sanhedrin, Shisa Bo Es HaKelev. That's one case. Shisa Bo Es HaNochash is another case. Potter, there's a Meshase who sends out a dog to attack a man, or he sends out a serpent, and the victim was killed or was injured. So the Meshase who sent out the animal or the serpent is potter, because that's not called a direct hezek, that's called grama bin azik. So the Gemara now is medayik. Man potter, who's potter? The Meshase is potter. But v'chayev baal kelev, but the owner of the kelev apparently is chayev. The e amrit, and if you could assume kechatzar hamazik domi, the pipar is like the chatzar of the mazik. Why is the baal kelev chayev in this case? Lemole, he could say to the nizak, my boy yadach befume de kalboy. Why is your hand in the mouth of my kelev? My kelev is my rishus, and therefore I should be potter on any nizikin. It must be that pipara is kechatzer hanizak dami, and therefore the bala kelev is chayef for tashlumin nizikin. The Gemara says, ema potter af mishase. The Mishnah doesn't have in mind that the Meshasa is potter and only the Meshasa is potter. The Balakelev is Chayev, but rather even the Meshasa is Chayev. You would have thought the Meshasa is really the damager and he should certainly be responsible for paying compensation for damages. No, even the Meshasa is potter. He's only a Grumma bin Ezekin. But it's very plausible that the Balakelev is likewise potter, because the P. Kelev is called the Rishus of the mazik, and what is your arm doing in the mouth of my kelev? Iboy Sema. We don't have to give that answer, but rather we could say that Mishnah is talking about a case of the afke linive visarte, which means the kelev took out its teeth, right? It's opened up his mouth, and it attacked a person and made a chabura. It made a wound in that person. And it wasn't that the hand of the nizak was inside the mouth of the kelev, right? The kelev just bit into his flesh with its teeth, and therefore the bala kelev enochinami is chayev, and he has no right to say my boy yodcha befumi dekal boy. The Gemara now tries to bring a proof from the Sefer, that same Mishnah in Sanhedrin. Toshma hishich bo es hanochash, and there, according to the Tanakama, the mashich is potter. So we're talking about a case of a person who holds on to a serpent of someone else. It's not his. And he brings the mouth of the peh, right? He brings the piv liyado shel chavero until the yad is inside the mouth of the serpent. And now the serpent attacks, bites him, and puts his venom in, and the victim dies. Rabbi Yehuda is machayev. Rabbi Yehuda says, in such a case, yechayev chachomim potrim. The Omer of Acha bar Yaakov, the sugya there in Sanhedrin, quotes a member of Rabbi Yaakov bar Yaakov to explain the machlok shin chachomim and Rabbi Yehuda kishetimtzi lomar. If you analyze the root of the machlokas, you'll come to the following observation. L'divir Rabbi Yehuda, eres nochav nochosh bein shinov hu omeit. The venom of the serpent is between its teeth, and it goes out without an active, deliberate attack of the nochosh. Nochosh doesn't have to send messages from its brain in order to send out this venom. The venom is already there between its teeth. So when the person takes the teeth of the nachash and applies them directly to the hand of his friend, he's like killing him with a sword. And therefore, and this explains the Shita of Yehuda, lefichach makish b'sayif v'nachash potu. Therefore, the makish is going to be killed as, according to Rabbi Yehuda, as a rotzeach. That's called misas sayif, right? There are four different categories of capital punishment. One of them is called sayif, the sword, and that applies to a rotzeach. V'nachash potur. And the nachash doesn't get killed. Normally, we kill a shor niskal for killing a person, but here the nachash is not in any way an active murderer, so to speak, because it's eres bein shinov. Well, the divrei chachamim, eres nachash me atzmo meki. The nachash itself is actively taking the venom out of its body, vomiting it forth in an active sort of way. The nachash is really the rotzeach. And the person, the meshich, is only a goren. And therefore, nachash beskilo, we have to kill the nachash, like a shor haniskal, who killed a man, umakish pot. So now the Gemara comes back to our suffix, e amrit, if you're going to say pi para, kechatsar hamazik domi. Then why did the chachamim say that the nachash is chayav skilo? Lemole, the owner of the nachash, is right to say, my boy yodach befume dechivoy. Why is your hand inside the mouth of my nachash? That's my reshus. And therefore you should be potter, in other words, the nachash itself should be potter from ariga. It must be that the pi nachash is not the reshus of the mazik, but rather the reshus of the nizak, and therefore the bala nachash doesn't have a right to claim my boy yodach befume dechivoy. And the Gemara answers, no. L'inyan k'tola lo amrinan. As far as the din of the nachash, to kill the nachash, we don't say this for my boy yodach. Now, it's even though the nachash is enochinami defined, the pi nachash, as reshus amazik, nevertheless, the nachash can't become potu, it can't be alleviated from its capital punishment. It has to be killed. As far as tashlumi nezikin is concerned, enochinami pi nachash might be reshus amazik. But as far as the din hariga on the nachash for its bringing about the death of a human being, there we don't pater him up by saying kirishus hamazik tomei. When we know a temra, and why should we say with regard this logic that with regard to harigas hanachash, we're not going to calculate and consider this possibility that pi nachash is kirishus hamazik. Disanya, and that's based on the brisa, hanichnas lechatzar balabais shelo bershus unegocho shoro shel balabais umeis hashor beskila ubailim pturim min hakofer. So here we have a brisa that says that if a person enters into the chatzar of the balabais, in other words, he wasn't allowed to come in, he was basically trespassing, and yet he was killed by the balabais, by the shor of the balabais, we put that shor to death. The Gemara explains, "Bailim p'turim min hakofer." Why is that? My taima, the amalei b'shusi, my boy. What are you doing in my reshus? Who gave you permission to enter in? I don't have to pay you damages for even for the death
that was caused by the shor. But you'll say shor nami if you apply the same logic to the shor lemale. Maybe the Baal HaShor could say, my boys b'shusi, why did you enter into my reshus? And therefore, why is my shor dino b'skila? Why does it deserve death? Eli, you're going to have to say the linyan ketola, as far as the harigas HaShor is concerned, lo aminin, we don't apply this logic of my boys b'shusi. And even though it went shalom b'shus, it entered into lo b'shus, and it killed, we still have a din of skill. So the Bryce is going to say that the Chiv Misa Shor and is a separate din, and the Tashlumi Abaylim is a separate din, two distinct dinim, even though it was all one Misa. As far as my boys Bershusi, that's a Ptur in Mamon, but it's not a Ptur in Misa. Okay, then, so we have one little piece of Gemara of Hani Easy. But it's a pretty profound sugya. I think we'll leave it for tomorrow's Shia, and then we'll start the Mishnah of Ezu Tam and Ezu Muad Bezer Hashem.